Lob und Anbetung sei dir, aus dankbarem Herzen, Herr Jesus, von dir, für alle deine Gnade und alle deine Treu, die du stets beweisest aus Neu. Lob, Ehre, Preis, Ruhm und Anbetung sei dir, aus dankbarem Herzen, Herr Jesus, von mir, für all deine Gnade und all deine Treu, die du stets beweisest aus Neu.
Amen.
Amen.
Wir setzen uns. Bitte schön.
I also greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord, and I wish us a weekend which brings forth fruit for eternity and which we will never forget. There are actually a number of things which should be mentioned, especially of that what God has done, but let us firstly give you the many greetings from Chile, from Peru. I've noted it down here. Greetings from Brother Wallström, from Copenhagen. Greetings from Brother Graf. Greetings from Brother Barrier. Greetings from Brother Genton. He was just now in Yerevan, and all the brethren from Tehran and from the surroundings are also greeting you. All from Armenia are greeting you. Also there, they are now printing and the message is being spread. We are thankful to God for that. Brother Nyagi from Nairobi, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, Brother Daniel from Cape Town, Brother Elijah from Likasi, Brother Ngonga, Brother Rigobert, all the brethren from Nigeria, from Ghana, from everywhere. They're just very warm greetings from India, from Pakistan, from the Ukraine. Yes, one could say in French, Mont Andier, from all over the world. That's how it is. Then we have here friends today for the first time, and we would like to ask that they just raise their hands. Who is here today for the first time? Let us just see it now. Please stand up, all who are here today for the first time. Be welcome. Most surely a friend from Prague, and then some friends probably from the Netherlands. God bless you. From Poland, our friend, God bless you. Then we have here we have our friend from Abidjan, a blonde man from Black Africa. God bless you in a special way. Yes, this is all possible. God bless you in a special way. God bless you, also you who are here for the first time. God bless. This is just our prayer, that God may bless each one. I would have loved to hear today three songs. The one from the choir, they come from the east and west, and the other one from Brother Helmut and Sister Christa 2000 years ago. You all know this song. We can sing it also. And when we then have still time from our two sisters, are you ready at that hour? We indeed wish that all are feeling at home, and we are greeting also from here all who are listening to us today, who are watching us today, or who later on watch us on video or DVD and what have you. May God just bless from the riches of His grace. Then I would like to ask our brother Leonard Liefese to just tell us a few words of impression. He was with me on my last three trips through Africa, and then maybe also brother Wolfgang Payer says also a few words, who was also with us on this Africa trip. Just a few words, so that all might know, so that all might know what God is really doing. Just rejoice with us. Is brother Erich here, that we then hear the song, "They Come from the East and West"? Okay, brother.
Yes, God bless you.
You want to speak in French?
No, in English, please.
I greet you all in the most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Just for your information, this brother speaks French and English.
It was a wonderful time that we had with our brother Frank.
Wir hatten eine wunderbare Zeit zusammen mit Bruder
Frank. We have been in many countries.
Wir sind in vielen Ländern
gewesen. And we
had
also many meetings in different cities.
Und wir hatten viele Versammlungen in verschiedenen
Städten. And what I can say tonight is this.
Was ich heute Abend sagen kann, ist dies.
It's exactly what John spoke in the scriptures.
Es ist das, was Johannes in der Schrift gesagt hat.
What our eyes have seen.
Was unsere Augen gesehen haben,
and we can give testimony of that.
Und wir Zeugnis davon ablegen können.
In many countries we have been with my beloved brother.
Wir waren mit unserem geliebten Bruder in vielen Ländern.
Many people came to attend the meeting.
Und viele Menschen kamen in die Versammlungen.
Not only to see the man of God,
nicht nur einen Mann Gottes zu
but
sehen,
to hear the word of God.
Sondern das Wort Gottes zu
it
hören.
Was wonderful to see.
Es war wunderbar zu
the
sehen.
The thirst of that people.
Den Durst dieser Menschen,
willing to hear the word of God,
die bereit waren, das Wort Gottes zu hören,
action,
und Gott in den Handlungen zu
and
sehen.
I can say also this,
und auch das kann ich sagen,
that with my own eyes,
mit eigenen Augen
I've seen the fulfillment of Amos 8:11,
habe ich die Erfüllung von Amos 8, Vers 11
that
gesehen.
Seen that the people of God,
ich habe gesehen, dass das Volk
in
Gottes
need of hearing the true word of God,
einfach das wahre Wort Gottes hören wollen,
receive the true word of God from God,
das wahre Wort Gottes zu empfangen.
And it's really a great privilege for you and me.
Und es ist wirklich ein großes Vorrecht für euch und für mich,
to have that favor in this age,
dass wir das Vorrecht in diesem Zeitalter haben,
to recognize what God is really doing in this time,
zu erkennen, was Gott in dieser Zeit wirklich tut.
Through this man of God.
Yeah, just a moment.
Yes.
God is doing it.
Yes, yes, I know, but I tell that they have to. We have to acknowledge that. Yes, yes, because God doesn't speak from trees.
Dann muss jemand anders holen zum Übersetzen. Durch mich geschieht's ja nicht, Gott spricht, durch meinen Geist wird's geschehen.
It happens by my spirit.
I said it will happen through the spirit, you know.
Yes, yes, okay, thank you very much. Right, so, in many cities, for example, in Lubumbashi.
In vielen Städten, zum Beispiel in Lubumbashi.
We have 20,000 people gathered in this stadium.
Hatten wir tatsächlich 20,000 Menschen im Sportstadion?
And in other cities like Bujimai.
Und zum Beispiel in Bujimai.
We had about 18 people gathered also in this stadium.
I mean 18,000.
18,000.
Hatten wir etwa 18,000 versammelt im Stadion?
So it was wonderful to be in that time.
Es war wunderbar, die Zeit mitzuerleben.
And to hear the word of God.
Und das Wort Gottes
the word
zu hören,
who can transform a man.
Das Wort, das einen Menschen kann.
And also we can bring the people of God,
und das Volk Gottes zusammenbringen,
to the will of God,
in den Willen Gottes,
and also to the true faith of the Bible,
und auch in den wahren Glauben der Bibel.
So I just want to tell you this.
Ich möchte euch nur das sagen.
You also have the same opportunity that we have with my brother Wolfgang.
Ihr habt dieselbe, oder Bruder Wolfgang hatte die gleiche Gelegenheit, und auch nachher zu sehen auf DVD oder in Video.
You can ask our beloved brother Peter.
Ihr könnt Bruder Peter darum bitten.
He has got all of them.
Bruder Fitzek, er hat alles zur Verfügung.
So God bless you.
Gott segne euch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wer singt jetzt? Der Chor
ist. Who sings now? The choir is not here.
Der Chor.
I also would like to greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you God's blessings. That I'm standing here, I don't like it so much, but when one has seen, and if when one could experience what I have experienced on this Africa trip, then one is just obligated to give testimony of what one has seen. And I just can thank God that He made it possible, giving me the opportunity to be part of this trip. The whole journey was planned at short notice from my side. And all have just shaken their heads that this was possible in such a short time. All the visas and the tickets and the vaccinations, they all just shook their heads. And they said, perhaps it must be so that I go there. And as already said, Brother Leonard mentioned it already, when one sees the thousands who are coming with such a desire to hear the word of the hour, then I was asking myself, with what right am I here? And I just can only praise God that He has given me the grace to experience and to give testimony of that. And when one just hears of the journeys, then one cannot imagine what it actually means. When it says, yeah, now 10 days or 12 days, one is in Africa. We had in 8 days, every day, a meeting and a brothers' meeting. And one just sees how the word from Isaiah 40 is being fulfilled, that the Lord, those who trust the Lord, that He gives them strength to make it possible. Because naturally seen, it is impossible that one 8 days after one another with such a power. So I was actually just sitting 8 days there and was listening, but I got weak in my body and I needed 1 week at home to recover. And in the meetings, when one noticed that they were getting more powerful from day to day, praise, honor and glory unto the Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Is our brother from Brussels here to sing the song Hallelujah? Maranatha, we have all understood. Hallelujah, we also understood. I don't know whether you noticed that in all of the New Testament, the word Hallelujah from Matthew 1 up to the Epistle of Jude, the last verse, that it is not mentioned one single time. Not one single time the word Hallelujah from Matthew 1 up to Jude, the last verse. Do you know where the great Hallelujah is being sung? In Revelation 19, when the bride when the bride is taken up to the marriage supper. There then comes the great hallelujah. Brother Helmut, Sister Christa, most surely you have the revival song already ready. And here we sing the chorus together. We all remember it quite well. Please come now. It was not only a song, it was a sermon, it was a prayer. Everything was contained in it. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, we have recognized that we have reached the end time. And as we heard it from our two brothers, thousands upon thousands are coming to hear God's word and to be blessed. They have respect before God and His word, and they indeed are being called out from all peoples, tongues and nations. Just as God promised it to Abraham, and just as He realized it through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, God calls out. We are just grateful for it. And if I just may mention here now, also here, people are coming from near and far, from all over Europe, and not only young, but also old. Just recently, our sister had her 95th birthday, and she does not miss one single meeting here, and she does not miss one meeting in Zurich. She sits into the train or into the car, and she's just here. Shall I mention your name? Ah, Sister Lotte, all of us know her. Then I think on Brother Kupfer, I think on brethren and sisters who are not just driving in the car for fun. No, it's not fun. No, they come to hear the word of God. And it's just the time now. I hear the amen from Prague and from the surroundings. Just so nice. God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. Now it is about the last chance. It's really like this. As it was sung, the end time is here. This all are noticing now, really all. And he who listened to the news, especially on the 11th of September, I was in London listening to the news there, and there they spoke of a turning point of time which started on 9/11/2001, when the towers fell, and also politicians, whoever it might be, one can see that nothing will be as it was. And we all are feeling it because of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But we are not only having a message, but the divine message of calling out and preparation, the true everlasting gospel. And don't you worry, also tonight, we will not come short with the preaching of the word. God will speak with us. He will bless us. Also in view of the Lord's Supper, which we are going to celebrate tonight together with our Lord. Do you still wish to hear the song? Will you be ready at that hour? Are our sisters here? Now, then come quickly, and then we will together look at some scriptures, letting every word directly speak to us. And then the blessing will for sure come upon us. Please come now. This we all wish that it would happen even today. I don't think that we would be surprised, but that we would be happy to leave this world. I've noted down some scriptures here, just for the subject, which is today on the divine agenda. That's how one could say here. I would like to read from Isaiah 55, just one verse which was read to us already, Isaiah 55, namely the last part from verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But straight afterward it says, incline your ear and come unto me. As we have sung this song, wonderful on the streets of gold, wonderful clothed in white linen, this is Revelation 19, the overcomers, the firstborn, the sons and daughters of God, who believed God, who received the word of promise. And to me, this was very outstanding. The promise of the return of Jesus Christ will only be a bliss for them who believed God's promises for this time. And who believed it in previous times. One just has to know that in every church age message, the promise was only given to the overcomers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. One promise leads to the next promise, and to the next one, up to the last promise, that the Lord will return to take us home. In Matthew 18, verse 19, we have the promise that the Lord will be in our midst. And even only two or three are gathered in His name, then He is already in our midst, also today. Brothers and sisters, also today. And it would be good if we would succeed with God's help to put off the everyday life with all its problems and troubles, and to hear the word of God, to receive it, and to trust the Lord, because He will make all things well. When we look around us, there is hardly a family which does not go through problems and troubles in this or that way. And the enemy seems to take vengeance on those who escaped him forever. This is the blood-bought flock. And then we come to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Here we have the story Peter and Cornelius, but actually it's a part of the plan of salvation, from which we can see what happens when people are coming together in expectation, not only coming, but coming in expectation, as it is being said here in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Maybe we should read also verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. The story has a prehistory. This man, a Gentile, saw in a vision what he should do. He received the instruction, and God took care of that all things came harmoniously together. The servant of God and all who were ordained for eternal life, they were coming together to hear what this man was commanded of God. Here it's written, all things that are commanded thee of God. It was a commission, a sending, connected to the proclamation. And then we have in verse 36, one could actually read all the verses. And of course, the nicest was the experience of these people. We have heard it in this nice song about the fire which shall fall, and we have the promise that the Lord baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brothers and sisters, also in this point, we must forget all things what went wrong in the churches of the full gospel, what went wrong in our own life, what went wrong in the church. And we must open ourselves anew before God to not miss out the blessings which just belong to it. Just belong to it. And we see it. They belonged right to it at the beginning. The Spirit baptism belongs as the crowning to the conversion. How often shall we say it? In water baptism, man makes the confession to God. In the Spirit baptism, God makes confession to man. This is just like this. This is the confirmation. And we can go back to Matthew 3. The Son of God was, of course, our example, who fulfilled all righteousness. And after the baptism, the heaven opened, and the Spirit of God came down. As it was with the Son of God, so it must be with all sons and daughters of God. So please, without any remembrance of what people have done wrong, God does all things right, and God restores. It doesn't make sense to speak about that the Lord can only return when all things are restored. If we personally don't expect this full restoration, this must just be this way. God will do nothing at all if we don't believe it and if we don't expect it. It was always said, be it done unto you according to your faith. And it happened. When we then go to Ephesians chapter 2, then we have again a portion of the preaching of the gospel. And I just put the emphasis on, and we all, that the gospel today is being preached in such a way as in the beginning. But this is not enough. The same experiences, salvation, healing, deliverance, Spirit baptism, everything must happen and will happen as in the beginning. Otherwise, we only have the message of restoration and the promise from the word. What good is the promise if we do not experience it personally? A promise is given for the purpose that it becomes true in those, becoming true in those who believe it. So we have here in Ephesians chapter 2, already in view to the Lord's Supper, and then we must look to Calvary. There we must look on that, what God has done. Our eyes must be on Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Ephesians 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, as a peacemaker. Also here we come to a point, brothers and sisters, which may not just be a theory. It must have been experienced. A true conversion includes that the enmity, the middle wall of partition, that the handwriting against us, that it was abolished, that we find peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the new man is a peacemaker. I think on last Wednesday night we mentioned it here. He who gives and makes trouble is not born again. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. He who is born again, he who is reconciled with God, he has no enmity. The enmity was abolished. That's how it is written. And we must make our decision whom we agree. We may and must agree with God. So, on the cross of Calvary, it happened that the Lord and Redeemer abolished the enmity of Genesis 3, verse 15. You all know it. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. It is an enmity. And because the sin came upon all, upon this seed and that seed, we all were pulled into the original sin. We were all born in sin, coming into this world. But on the cross of Calvary, for those who were reconciled with God, the enmity was abolished. And God made a new man as a peacemaker. This is just a gift from our God. And one really can read here one verse after the other one. One can examine oneself whether it is really like this, and if not, then just praying to God, not giving up hope and being sad, but believing that in the presence of God all things are possible. It's possible today that God takes everything out from us which cannot stand before him, and that Calvary, that means redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, that all things are manifested in us. And as in the Lord's Prayer we pray, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Just passing on the received forgiveness, not imputing anything to anyone, up to them who are our enemies, praying for them, feeling sorry for them, and leaving all judgment up to God. Up to now, most surely, and I'm not the only one here, we probably could not pray for everybody, especially for people who did much evil to us. But my decision is firm to pray for them. I have people whom I excluded in my prayers. I had no grudges against them. I'm not angry with them. But I also did not pray for them. Our last Wednesday night meeting had a very great impact for me. Not just being neutral, but to pray for the enemies, putting fiery coals on their heads. And the man who is in peace with God, he will follow peace. And as the Holy Scripture says it, as much as it depends on us, we see it also with our Lord. All were against him, all the scribes. And also to us, we have not been promised an easy way. But as much as it depends on us, we want to bless all. What then God does, this is up to him. And he will always do the right thing. This we all know. So, reconciliation, forgiveness, and peace with God, and peace with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, we have the report that at the end, even the sting of death will be no more, but it says, death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But this is not all. We indeed were united with God, Jews or Gentiles, in Christ, those who were afar off and those who were nigh, they were united into a divine unity. And this unity makes up the body of Jesus Christ, as we will still see in reference to the Lord's Supper. Then we have in Colossians, in chapter 1, in verse 20, Colossians 1, or let us read also verse 19, Colossians 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. Having made peace. We can go here to many, many scriptures, especially in the epistles to the Romans. We have it time and again from Paul, how he gives evidence. Let's say Romans chapter 4, last verse. Romans 4, last verse, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Brothers and sisters, this has become a divine reality in my and your life. We died with Christ. We were baptized into his death. And as sure as he rose, so sure we have been justified before God. And there is no more condemnation for all who are in Christ Jesus. A finished work of redemption. And then Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, justification by the faith in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. By this we have peace with God. That's how it is here. Being justified by faith. But this only became possible because God was in Christ, shedding the divine blood in which was divine life. How often shall we say it? Because the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood, therefore the Redeemer had to come into a body of flesh and blood to pay the price so that we would get redemption by grace. If Adam and Eve would only have eaten an apple, then only an apple would have to appear somewhere, or whatever fruit it might have been. Then it had to be this way. But because it really happened in the body of flesh and blood, by disobedience and then the transgression, therefore the way had to be prepared in the body of flesh by obedience, thus providing our redemption. And this we received and accepted by faith, really with the request that the divine impact is granted to all of us by grace. That we not only get it illuminated by the Holy Scriptures, but that it can become our personal experience. And we have seen it with Peter and the household of Cornelius preaching. And Peter really just gave a very small summary, beginning with the baptism of John and then Jesus Christ and what has taken place there. And behold, it happened. It happened that God gave grace and that people believed, and that God straight away confirmed that he accepted and received them by giving them the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they were even baptized in water. God knows exactly who would believe him and who would follow him on the way of faith. It's always like this. Normally it's like this, or actually it's like this: preaching, then the faith, and then the water baptism, and then the Holy Spirit baptism. But he who looks in the Holy Scriptures, he knows very well that God acts beyond our understanding. And as soon as the people believe it, then God acts. God acts according to our faith. When we then would read the places in the Old Testament from Isaiah 53, where the announcement is that God will give us peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have it here in Isaiah 53, especially in verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Heilung zuteil geworden.
And then the man of God writes, being led by the Spirit, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have turned everyone to his own way. That's how it was with all of us. But it was. It's no more. It may not be anymore. With the redemption, with the finished work of redemption in us, our ways merge into the way of God. Everything what we are thinking and wanting and doing before does not count anymore. We were converted. We made a turnaround by God's grace and are coming onto the way of salvation, onto the way which leads to life. The one was the broad way, which we are all walking by nature, which leads to destruction. But then we have heard the word of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 to 23. The word of the cross is to them who perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross must become to us the power of God, which transforms us on the inside, making us a new man by grace. That we not only are singing all things new, but that it indeed happens as promised in the Old Testament. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. I will make such people out of you who walk in my ways. And then we have the comparison with the people of Israel, of whom it is written, they did not want to know anything of my ways. Just imagine, supernatural cloud, pillar of fire, smitten rock, baptism in the sea, under Moses, baptism in the cloud. All the supernatural was with Israel, 40 years, and yet, the Lord says, they did not want to know anything of my ways, and they went astray with their hearts. One can be part of the called out ones. One can know about the pillar of fire, drinking of the water of the smitten rock. One can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one can be baptized in the Spirit, and yet continue to walk in one's own ways. This is the great thing which God gave us, that we are really brought in line with His Word. Just be honest. All the 550 million Pentecostals which are now on this earth, and church history writes now, the greatest movement in Protestantism is the Pentecostal movement and the charismatic movement, which, so to say, are going hand in hand. What good is it for them when they remain in the Trinity doctrine, when they remain in the triune baptism, when they hold fast to their traditional teachings, not being called out? Yes, actually, not even wanting to hear the calling out cry. But instead they are happy with themselves, creating a good atmosphere, and that was it. No. God has let go forth his word to us, a direct message that before the return of the Lord, the true church is being brought back into the obedience to the word, to line up with the word of God. No own way anymore, no own will anymore. Have thine own will, O Lord. This must be so, brothers and sisters. Also, let it be said openly here. What does God want in heaven with all these people who indeed despised his word, who had just a Christian religion but not Christ? Did you know that God didn't bring any religion into existence? Religion separates from God. Also this, I have heard on the 11th of September in London how the American nation is united with God by religion. United by religion. Since when did God unite a nation with himself by a religion? This is unknown to me. I don't know of any date or contract which God would have with a religion. God reconciled mankind with himself in Jesus Christ. All the religions are the greatest obstacle between God and mankind. This one just has to say this way, not just doing piously and saying we are joined with God by religion. Here it also does not help an American president who at the burial of the previous president is nicely singing the hymn Amazing Grace. This is no good. It's only good when God's word and his deed on the cross in Jesus Christ, when it had a divine impact in our lives, that we indeed experience reconciliation, forgiveness and salvation, personally finding peace with God through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Because in the blood was life. That's how it is written in Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life is in the blood. And therefore, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, when we today celebrate the Lord's Supper, then indeed, in view of that, what happened on the cross. I know, the question was asked here, who may partake of the Lord's Supper? And this was a question because of a statement of Brother Branham. Brother Branham once in a while spoke very seriously. And he said, I recall it now from my memory, no one who did not have a true experience with God, and he goes even so far and he says, he who was not baptized in the Spirit, he should partake of the Lord's Supper. The same Brother Branham said, no one should stand in the pulpit except he had an experience with God, just as Moses met the Lord face to face. And then one just has to say, when one would take this rule very seriously, and I'm not saying this now to judge, but if Brother Branham would have put this rule into practice in his own home church, just as he said it, and if he would have asked, how many of you are baptized in the Spirit, then I don't know whether he could have handed out or celebrated the Lord's Supper. But Brother Branham wanted to make a point that not all and everybody just partake of the Lord's Supper just like that. He wanted to show the seriousness of that matter. And when we look at it precisely, then it is like this. The Lord's Supper does not refer to Pentecost. The Lord's Supper refers to Calvary. It refers to God's covenant with mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because that's how we read it. Maybe we should read these two scriptures in Matthew so that all might know that it is written like this. In Matthew chapter 26, from verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He who does not read the next verse and not reading the other Gospels could have the impression in the cup was the blood of the Lord. But this was just a symbol. He was referring to the blood which was pulsating in his veins and which would be given for the remission of sins. Not in the cup was blood. The blood of the Lamb was still in his body. And the next verse says it very clearly. One does not need to interpret. It's very clear. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. So, what did he drink? He was drinking wine. The fruit of the vine, I will henceforth not drink anymore. Until that day, when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, just for your information, here we didn't read anything of the Passover. This one would have to start with verse 20, or to have it complete, have start from verse 17, because most people do not take note of that on one hand, the Passover was prepared and eaten, the feast of the unleavened bread, and most people do not take heed to that Judas was only present at the Passover but not at the Lord's Supper. And do you know what is the difference? At the Passover, each one was dipping into the dish and then they were eating. At the Lord's Supper, nobody was dipping into the dish. At the Lord's Supper, the bread was broken and all were eating of it, and the cup was handed around and all drank of it. For instance, also when one reads John 13, in every case one must read also Matthew, Mark and Luke also, and one must read precisely what is written. Let us also look up Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, to see what our Lord did here and what he said. Maybe from verse 23 or from verse 22. And he who likes to know it about the Passover, he can start from verse 17. He who likes to know it about the dipping of the dish, he shall read verse 20. Here it's written, and he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Dipping with me in the dish. It is he who would betray me. And then we read from verse 22, and as they did eat, the Passover was going on. As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. And again he says, in verse 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. One has to understand the divine language, and to this one really must read a number of scriptures. For instance, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, here it's written, for instance, in verse 48, John 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. And then comes the comparison. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But he who eats from the bread which I will give him, or which cometh down from heaven, he will live forever. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So wonderful. So we see how the Lord's Supper was referring to the Lord himself, who would give his blood and life for us, who we are having part of him. And as we partake naturally of the bread and cup, so spiritually we have received the living bread, our Lord. It has become, of course, a divine reality in us by his grace. Let us read also the last verse in this passage, verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Brothers and sisters, recently, and the Lord willing, we will continue now and then, as long as God gives grace, we will point out how important it is to take all scriptures together which belong to a certain subject, so that no man comes up with his own thoughts, falling into his own interpretations, but taking scripture by scripture, word by word, taking it together, so that all can see it by grace. In Corinthians, we have then, and I say it once again, to support what we just read now in the Gospels. We're reading now, I am the living bread, the living bread. He who eats that bread which comes down from heaven and who drinks my blood has eternal life. And only then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? You see what it's all about? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So, it's not about the discussion whether the bread represents the body or just refers to it. Every discussion is needless. He who goes from scripture to scripture, from the Gospels to the epistles, he cannot go astray. He has the overview in the Word of God. He does not need to interpret anymore. He does not need to say anymore, it means this or that. It means exactly that as it is written. Then we have here, in verse 17, in 1 Corinthians 10, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Now just imagine now, the Lord's Supper, out of the one bread which our Lord took and gave thanks and broke it, and as he handed it out, this one bread, which was broken into many pieces, and then it makes up again the church, which consists of many members, the blood-bought flock, the body of the Lord, the church of the living God, where Christ himself is the head. It is just a diversity of the Word of God, which show us the various points which we must know, or even better, which we personally must experience. And only then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it's written from verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me. Did you notice here? The for you is not written in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke. This is here. This is here. This is my body for you. In the Gospels, this is my body. This is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, as sure as God lives, he reveals to us his word. Step by step, he leads us into the deep things, into the connections of his word. And thereby we recognize that God is amongst us. We were not taught by man. No. Here, in the presence of God, we are being taught by God Himself, by the revelation of the Spirit within the Word. And then it is fulfilled. They all will be taught by God. Then it continues here.
And
verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Peace until he returns. Also today, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are examining ourselves in the presence of God. And today, we all want to tidy up in our hearts. We want to examine ourselves whether something is left. Nothing may be left. No root of bitterness. No enmity. Nothing may be left. The new man is the divine result of our... And therefore, we want to let God work in us. We want to examine ourselves. And indeed, if we find something, also a man whom we cannot forgive. I told you before very clearly, I have no problems. I have no problems to forgive. I just had the problem that for certain people I didn't pray. And I didn't pray for them because I was of the opinion that they went too far, that they crossed the line. But also this I want and must leave up to God. You all know, it's not an easy thing when one preaches the gospel worldwide. And then all of a sudden, one is presented to the whole world as a homosexual. And if I would tell you of all the other points which worldwide were spread about me, then you would fall off your chairs. It's not easy. I'm still above these things by God's grace. Yes, without having grudges, I did let go all these things over me. But as already said, I was never feeling to pray for them, because I also found scriptures, "Do not touch mine anointed," and there are a number of scriptures. But as long as we live in the time of grace, and as long as the sin against the Holy Spirit was not committed, God can and God will forgive when people come to Him. And when they realize that they were doing wrong. And for instance, the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that slanderers are excluded from the kingdom of God, just like the thieves and the murderers. What shall happen then with all the slanderers who are indeed spreading things all over the world, which started from here, with the one purpose to destroy the influence of the ministry? But we of course heard it from our brethren from Africa. The divine influence remains, and also the impact in all who can believe with all their heart. It hurts, yes, I admit that. But we want to leave everything to the Lord. I just mentioned one of these 8 points of accusations against me. I heard of them just recently. And I'm asking you now, remember me also in your prayers. I must somehow leave these things also behind me. I have to look forward to walk the way together with God right to the end. Today is mine and your opportunity to lay off everything what separates us from God. If we impute something to others, it will also be imputed to us. And what then? Let us forgive, just as God forgave us in Christ Jesus. May He be the judge. I will not be in anyone's way who seeks and finds grace with God, who seeks and finds forgiveness, who seeks and finds peace. I will not be in anyone's way, just the opposite. If I could help, I would help. But only God can help. Our speaking will not make anything better. Only God Himself can work by His Spirit. The time is up. We will now celebrate the Lord's Supper. Then we just have the one scripture which we will not read at all from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, that our Lord indeed was also washing the feet. He girded Himself with a towel and washed the feet of His disciples. And He said, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. I'm not asking why. I just say yes to that what the Lord commanded. Because He says, as I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. It's of course like this, that firstly, all are free. This was a commandment to the disciples, and today it's a command to us. But not all will get at the same time the revelation. Namely, that is also a part of the word which must be fulfilled. Don't you worry. Before the Lord's Supper, examine yourselves. And I repeat myself, when you believe that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, giving His life, that we were reconciled with God, that all sins were forgiven, and that we were taken out from the enmity, having found peace with God. But as it is written, through Jesus Christ, without Him, not. With Him, yes. All things given by God, we experience by the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then comes the full blessing upon us. Each one examines himself, each one brings everything under the blood, just under the blood, and we believe, and we pray, and ask for forgiveness, and receive it from the hand of God, forgiving everyone, and asking God to forgive us, and then we are free to celebrate with one another the Lord's Supper together with our Lord. Also today and until He comes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do we sing a chorus together? We give all the glory to Jesus.
Lord.